If your life is fruitless, then you need to examine your life. If you're not bringing fruit. It's not about a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship, like Paul said here, comes by knowing the time. Because you're reading the Bible, you're looking at the signs and times that we live today.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Ruiz in Diamond Bar, California. When Raul first came to the Lord Jesus, he immediately began sharing the gospel with family and friends. Now, for 40 years, God has used Raul as a bold witness to the lost. For more of his inspiring story, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, thanks for joining us today as Raul continues our study of biblical end-time prophecy with a crucial challenge. He'll show us that as believers living in the last days, it's important to order our lives under the conviction that Christ truly could return at any moment. Time is short, and each of us needs to take the opportunity to share the gospel's light in a spiritually dark world. Today's lesson is titled, It's Time to Wake Up. Here's Raul Ruiz now in Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
Now, when you think about what's happening in the world today and what's going to take place in the future to come, it's not like we're ignorant or blind to the things that are happening, but somehow people don't seem to believe that we're living in the last days. Now, no man knoweth the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back, but surely when you look at Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and you go through the epistles, that Jesus gave us an insight that when you see these things coming to pass, you know that summer is near. We can see that a lot of the prophecies that have been given, especially concerning the second coming of Christ, it's spoken 300 times in the New Testament about the coming of Jesus Christ's second coming. And we know for a fact that the second coming of Jesus Christ is at the end of the last 7 years of world history, which we call Jacob's trouble. And yet the church remains here, and the church is salt and light to a world that is so dark in everything that's happening in the world today. But somehow, the world doesn't believe us. Somehow. I believe that the reason, as you study the scriptures, it's the way the church has been heading, like the Corinthian church, that the church not only has come to know the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when it comes to practice, the Christian life, we're very weak in that area of our lives. If the heathens, like the Buddhists, and like the Indians in their religion, or Taoism, or Islam, whatever it is, if they really believe in their God and they're willing to give of themselves and their finances, why wouldn't the church look at the truth? We have the truth. And Jesus said the truth will set you free. Paul the apostle is ministering in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire hates Christians. The Roman Empire is not only arresting, but he's crucifying, he's putting them on the crosses, tar them, and then light them on fire. Women, children, whoever was a Christian, 6 million Christians died for their faith in Jesus Christ. 6 million Jews died for their faith. And you think about the world today as they look at our lives, and you're working with someone or you're playing with someone or whatever you're doing with that person and they're non-believers. What is your attitude and what is your life in front of them? Your personal life. Do you compromise with them, or do you make a stand? Do you make a stand even if you're going to lose friendships? We need to be bold. I'm not saying we need to be mean. We need to be bold. We need to be salt. We need to be light. Because if we're not salt and light in the world today, then how are people ever going to believe the church or believe Christ? Are we drawing people to Christ, or are we drawing by our lives and testimonies away from Christ? That's why Paul said, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith or not, lest you be disqualified, put on the shelf. And maybe many of you that are sitting here, those listening through the airways and watching through the internet, and I've said this before, maybe the reason you have no power of living the Christian life is because you've never really read the Bible, which is God's word. Gives you instruction how to be a Christian. Going back into the Old Testament, he reminds you of the people that were under the law. And listen, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, by the time they come to the book of Joshua, that generation has died, the new generation has woken. And then what happens? Joshua brings them in. And at the end of chapter 24 of Joshua, Joshua now is old. He's going to die. And he says to the people, he's gathered together, for me and my house, we have chosen to what? To serve the Lord our God. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And they all spoke out and said, we will worship Jehovah God. When you turn the page, you come to the book of Ruth, the grace, the love, and mercy of God. When you come to the book of Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10 says, and when that generation died, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord, but they worshiped every god in the world. And then all the way through to Samuel, and then Kings and Chronicles, all the way to Malachi, to the end of the Old Testament, the priests and the people did nothing but corrupt themselves with other gods. He wasn't speaking to the heathens. Israel was supposed to be light and salt to the heathens to come to know Jehovah God. In the same way the church today. This is why Christ came into the world. To die for the sins of the world. So that you and I would come into the light. And through the light we would be a witness. I notice he says, you're a light on a hill. For everyone to see. And are people really watching, seeing your testimony? And that's not by sharing your testimony, the testimony that you are a Christian, that you are salt and light. This is why Paul now writes in the book of Romans. And if you start the book of Romans in chapter 1, if it starts as a servant of Jesus Christ, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile. And then you come down to verse 18, and he says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then he goes from verse 18 to verse 32. And he gives you everything about homosexuality, lesbianism, fornicators, liars, cheaters, all the sins that separate you from God's love, speaking to Christians. Everybody's coming out now and say, I'm gay. No shame. When I was in high school, in the military, nobody would ever say they were gay. Nobody. We've even changed the terms. And you as Christian parents, you need to teach your children and your grandchildren. Because we're coming to a place where no righteousness is not only there any longer, but truth. They rather believe the lie than the truth. So God gave them over to what? To the lie. God gave them over to a lie. Listen to what Paul says now in chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. He says, and do this. Notice, do this. Knowing the time. So here is Paul begins to introduce to us that we need to do what he's going to tell us. And then he says, don't you recognize the time they were living in? And then he goes on to say that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And notice the church is sleeping. And for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Go back to the time you accepted Christ. A week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And you go back and you remember the miracle that took place in each one of our lives when we were in the world. And the way it came about by somebody sharing with us, or watching a TV program or listened to the radio or read a tract or went to a church and sat there and heard the sermon, got convicted. And the conviction that came to each one of us individually brought us to Jesus Christ, to salvation, which is the free gift of God. And through that free gift of God, then Jesus writes in the book of Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the sower. He says that a lot of people come to Christ, but some of them, like four types, the first is those that have no faith, they move away from Christ. Then the second group is they come up, they accept the Lord, they go to the back, get a Bible, and then emotionalism moves them for a while, and then they fall away. The third group, they come, they accept, but the world has such consummation in their life, they never make it. But the fourth group is the best. They come, they listen, they accept, they go back there, they get a Bible, start reading, maturing, and they become the church. And they bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold fruit, Jesus said. If your life is fruitless, then you need to examine your life. If you're not bringing fruit. It's not about a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship, like Paul said here, comes by knowing the time. Because you're reading the Bible, you're looking at the signs and times that we live today. Even as in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, when Jesus came, and then he left and went to heaven, those that were left behind, they were supposed to be witnesses, martyrs, to die for their faith. And he commissioned the disciples to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Started where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. How can the world or anyone believe our testimony if we don't live by the testimony of the Word of God? They can't. Too much is given, much more required. What we forget is that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. Every one of us here, before the Lord. And when we stand before the Lord, we're going to have to stand before him, and the books are going to be open in the book of Revelation to those that didn't make it. But to the Bema seat of Christ, he's going to take the work that we've done, gold, silver, wood, hay, or stubble, the value of it. He's going to take it, cast it into the fire, and whatever comes out of the fire, that will be your reward. And you have nothing, you'll be saved as by the fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from 11 to 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. And Romans 14, 10. So it's really of importance that we as mothers and fathers and grandparents, that we be great examples to our teenagers, to our young adults. Because Paul the Apostle is giving great instruction here. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up from sleep. And now our salvation is closer than when we first believed. Are you developing? Are you growing? Are you maturing? Or you find yourself in the same place as a baby? You haven't developed. You really don't know Christ. You don't know his word. You don't even know how to defend yourself because you don't know the scriptures. You've lived a life of defeat. And it's so important, again, for each one of us individually to take heed to what God says. We need to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Open your ears. Open our ears to hear. Secondly, look what he says in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's been a long time, now it's coming. He says, therefore, what he just told you previously, let us cast off the works of darkness. Notice his command. Get rid of your darkness. Darkness. All you have to do when you walk into a room, you turn on the light. The darkness is gone. But if you're not turning on the light, then you're walking in darkness. And when you come back to the light, like so many, they don't grow, they don't develop, they backslide. Then what happens to the light? You turn off the light. Why would you want to go back to your vomit that you were there before? God has cleansed you, washed you from all your sins. And at the same time, instead of developing and growing and maturing by going through the Bible, listening and growing and praying and seeking the Lord's will for my life. Why? Because God has a purpose for each one of our lives, and God has a work for each one of us individually, whatever your profession may be. Doesn't matter who you are. Right where God has you, he called you to be a witness. Salt and light. And Paul knows the pressure that he was under in the church. And yet Paul didn't care. He spoke out the truth. And God has set each one of us to speak the truth. But the problem is when we compromise the word of God. We share, but we don't live. We share, and we don't live. So what do? To our neighbors, to our friends, to our family, they see us as hypocrites. They don't accept the truth. And yet, the Holy Spirit doesn't need us, but the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts people and converts people. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Even though people can witness to us, unless we submit our will to the will of God and repent of our sins, then we have eternal life. This world is passing away very rapidly. The night, notice, is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and check this out, and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. When you leave in the morning, we've gone over this again. When you leave in the morning, do you have the armor of light or the armor of darkness when you leave to go to work? On the weekends, on Friday nights, what do you do with your time? Saturday nights. The way it works is that we leave here on Sunday morning so that we can live a life of obedience on Sunday evenings, on Monday and Tuesday, come back on Wednesday and get plugged in again so that we can do on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and again on Sunday morning. Very important. Some of you only come on Sunday morning. By the time you come next week, you have no power. You've been disconnected, just like your phones. Once the battery runs out, there's no communication. And this is why Paul makes it an urgency for the church, for believers. He goes on to say this, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day. Walking is always a sign of what? Fellowship. Obedience. Enoch walked with God. He was not. Why? Because God took him. Read the book of Hebrews. Enoch walked by faith. Enoch walked and pleased his God. Are you pleasing to God? Do you please God? Is God pleased in the things that you do? The things that you watch? The things that you listen to? The things that you handle? Is he pleased with your walk? Is he pleased with your life? Or is he displeased? God desires that we all repent and come to the knowledge of truth and become doers of God's word, not just hearers of God's word. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world to die for the sins of the world. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, we were just there. And when he got on his knees and he brought Peter, James, and John, it's so they could see how he submitted to the Father. Not my will, Father, your will be done. You want me to go to the cross? I will go. I will submit my will. And when he came three times to see the disciples, what were they doing? Instead of praying, they were sleeping. That's why they failed. That's why you'll fail and I failed. We need to pray. We need to look at God. What God has for each one of us individually. So that we can come to the place in our lives that when we look at Jesus Christ, not only he can touch my life, but he can chasten me. In Hebrews chapter, remember 12, beginning in verse 3. That the reason God chastens us as a real believer is like a father or mother loving his children. You discipline them. Why? Because you love them. God loves you. And he'll discipline you. If you're not being disciplined at this very moment and you're doing things that are not right, I would doubt you're a son and daughter of God. It's really important that you read the scriptures. So important to know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart before I do something evil. God always checks your heart by the Holy Spirit before you commit yourself like David. He came out in his terrace. He looked at the city of Jerusalem. Great. He looked down. Bathsheba was taking a bath down in the flat roofs. And he could have said, well, you can go back in. But what did he do? He made a choice to look and look and look and then to call her to commit adultery with her. And what happened to David? He reaped. And that's the way it is with us. And many times when Christians begin to reap, we murmur and we complain and say, why me? Why not you? You're the one that disobeyed. You're the one that sinned against God. And then your family also has to pay for it. And all God is doing, the reason he's chastening you is because he wants you to return to who? To your first love. Revelation chapter 2. When Jesus came there, they were going through the motions, but their true emotion, their love for Jesus Christ had departed. And what did Jesus do? Return, repent. And then I will do this for you. You've left your first love. You've fallen out of love like so many marriages even here today. Husbands and wives, and your kids are watching you. You need to return. Return to the Lord, the one that loves you and cares for you. And then he goes on to say, notice again verse 12, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. And then 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife or envy. Notice he gives you the things that will take you away from Christ. The things that you strive with. And at the same time, think of all the things that God not only has done and is doing in your life. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today, as you consider the urgency of sharing the gospel in these last days before Christ returns, we'd like to offer you an eye-opening resource titled End Times Now, The Revealing Truth. This compilation of 10 CDs provides an in-depth look at the troubling days ahead for the world and shows you just how important your role is in spreading the good news of Christ's salvation while there's still time. Get in touch with us today to equip yourself for effective service with the audio pack titled End Times Now, The Revealing Truth. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or give us a call at 800-634-9165. For a gift of $25 or more, we'll send you Raul's entire 10 CD collection. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by sending a check, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. And be sure and watch for the new resource offering an in-depth look at the Minor Prophets. These are some of the least read books in the Bible and, at the same time, some of the most timely for end-time Christians. In 2 weeks, you'll have the opportunity to boost your knowledge of the Minor Prophets with a 6-DVD set and a study guide to go with it. In the meantime, you can review today's lesson online at SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com. Or for a donation of any amount, we'll send you an unedited copy of Raul's message titled, It's Time to Wake Up. Just call 800-634-9165 to make your request. And we appreciate your faithful giving. This ministry is supported solely through the generosity of listeners like you. And your tax-deductible donations help keep Raul's Bible-based teaching on the air. And be sure to mark your calendar for a faith-building trip to Israel. Raul and his wife Sharon invite you to join them for a life-changing tour of the Holy Land, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to sail the Sea of Galilee, climb the Mount of Beatitudes, and experience the disciples' hometown of Capernaum. For more information, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com and click on Israel 2018. Well, coming up on Monday, Raul Reese will continue our study of end-time prophecy and a sobering look at Christ's return as the righteous judge. We'll see that God's justice will prevail as the time of grace comes to an end. Now, once again, here's Raul with a final word from today's message.
And we need to humble ourselves before him. We need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and be honest. Yes, Lord, I've cheated in my income tax. Yes, Lord, I'm committing adultery. Yes, Lord, I'm a homosexual. Yes, Lord, I'm a lesbian. Yes, Lord, I'm a child molester. Whatever the sin may be. But if you continue in that sin, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. And the only way to do that is to humble yourself before God. Aim, notice, and say, I am a sinner. Confess that you're a sinner before Him. And when you do that, God is going to touch your life and He's going to convict you and He's going to love on you. He's going to love on you because He loves you. Because look what He says at the end, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill what? The desires of the flesh. Don't make provision. How do I do that? Get baptized by the Holy Spirit and be obedient to the Word of God. Read the Bible. Pray. Be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then be a doer of God's word, and God will use your life like never before.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.